Thanks for listening to today's message. We hope that it will encourage you and help you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.
So for the past couple of weeks, we've been having a conversation about getting in sync with God. And we talked about how God will download a word into our hearts. And then we start the downloading process and we prepare ourselves for how this word will come to pass. How many of us, once this word has been downloaded in your heart, you start to envision a picture of what this is going to look like once it's all done? And has it looked exactly the way that you envisioned?
No.
Usually it looks completely different, and it's not what you are preparing for. In October 2011, I was a part of a team that went to the Philippines to work in an orphanage. Our missions committee at the church where I was serving at the time had developed a relationship with the executive director and her family at this orphanage. And we were thinking about supporting them and having them become part of the mission organizations that we support. And so what we thought is, let's take a group of teenagers and let's go over and serve in the orphanage, as well as in the surrounding community. And while there, I was staying with the brother of the executive director and commuting every day to the orphanage. But this one particular day, while at the orphanage, we received a call that a little boy had been brought into the hospital and he was suffering with respiratory issues. And the unfortunate thing is that somehow his mom was able to leave the hospital. Now, some of you may even be concerned about that, but when I look back on that and I remember this story, I look at it and say, at least his mom knew to get him to the hospital. She wasn't able to care for him. She wouldn't have been able to pay for the hospital bill. But at least she brought him to the hospital so that he could be looked after. In turn, they left their little boy, Rudy, behind. Here, we have a little five-month-old boy in a hospital with no family around to care for him. So Charity, the executive director, received a call and asked, can you help us? So immediately she comes and finds me, and she says, Chad, we have to go. We need to go rescue a little boy in the hospital and bring him back here to Gentle Hands so that we can care for him. We arrived at the hospital, and immediately we went right into his room. And as soon as I had clearance from the nurses, I picked him up, and I coddled him in my arms. The nurses came into the room, and they let me know that they had nicknamed him Chocolate because he was a lot darker than most Filipino boys. To say that my heart melted is an understatement. So together with Charity, we brought little Rudy back to the orphanage. I'm going to do my best not to get choked up here this morning, but it's going to happen. So up to this point, I had been staying in another part of town and, like I said, commuting back and forth. But once Rudy came into the orphanage, I decided that I needed to move in. I wanted to spend as much time with him as possible. So what happened is we found a room that was vacant. I went in there, I slept on the floor, and every single night I would go and he would come and he would stay with me. I would do those nighttime feedings. I would change the dirty bum. I would do all of those things. And the thing is that he was struggling to sleep. His muscles were very tight. Because we didn't have any background on his condition, we actually thought that maybe he's suffering with cerebral palsy. So every night I would just massage his legs and I would try and loosen them up. I would feed him and I was surprised that this 4.5, 5-month-old baby would just drink back. He would literally suck back about 8 ounces. And I'm thinking, this is way too much food. But, you know, as I look at this, he probably didn't know exactly when he was going to get his next meal. So during the night when he was restless and he would struggle, I would turn on my iPad and I would play Brahms' Lullaby by Kenny G. And both of us would kind of just drift off to sleep. throughout the night when he would wake up, knowing that my family was back in Airdrie, and it was a 14-hour time difference, I was able to FaceTime. And so we would be laying there, and we'd have FaceTime, and Rudy and I were just kind of talking back and forth to my wife and my daughters back in Airdrie. And all together as a family, we fell in love with Rudy. So I began to wonder if God was speaking to my heart and asking me to adopt this little boy. Why did you bring him into my life? Why am I sitting here and caring for him? Why? When the time came for me to return to Canada, it broke my heart. I returned home wondering if there was any way that I could adopt this little boy. It wasn't possible. Why? Plain and simple, God was not asking me to adopt him. God had brought me into his life to help him heal and to know love. I looked at his pictures many times. I prayed for him. I would be in continuous conversation with Charity and asking how he's doing. This little boy deserves so much more. He deserved a mom and a dad that would care for him and love him. God had brought Rudy to Gentle Hands, which served as his waiting room, while they could understand what his medical condition was and to determine who he would be placed with. We didn't know it at the time, but while all of this is going on, there was a family that God was preparing to become Rudy's parents. We simply prayed that God, you would bring along the right family to care for this little boy. Who were they? Where were they? We didn't know, but we trusted that God knew the whole picture. Meanwhile, in the country of France, there's a couple named Ludovic and Elizabeth. They had gotten married in 2002, and they wanted to have a family. But unfortunately, through many attempts and trying to use medicine, they were not able to conceive. For Ludovic, ever since he was a little boy, he dreamed of having his own family. For 7 years, this couple waited and longed to have their own child. In 2009, Ludovic and Elizabeth decided to start the adoption process. In total, they sat for 12 years in the waiting room for God to bring them a child. They took the steps towards adoption, but they had no idea how long it would take, but they kept persevering. In May 2014, God answered their prayers and delivered them a little boy. In 2011, a little boy was born and given the name Rudy. In May of 2014, his name was changed when he was adopted by Ludovic and Elizabeth, and his name is Timothy Rudy. And this morning, I have the pleasure of introducing him to you. Timothy, viens ici. I'll just pick. No, just in a moment. This is Timothy. He's very shy. He'll warm up eventually. He was shy with me for about the first, 10 minutes, and after that. What an amazing opportunity. In May of 2014, I received the following message. It was a message that was sent to Charity, and it said, "Charity, would you be so kind as to provide me Pastor Chad's email address? We would like to thank Pastor Chad for all his prayer." This email came from a couple in France, and this was the family that had adopted little Rudy. And in May 2014, they adopted him at the age of 3. In 2011, when I first met him, I didn't know why. Many thoughts went through my mind. I knew that God had put him into my life to care for him in his very early years. And as I look back now, I can see clearly God's hand at work. He was orchestrating this whole thing. And just before Christmas this past year, Ludovic had emailed me, and he says, we would like to bring Timothy to Canada so that you and him can meet each other. So we've been together. He's been in our home. He's been here in the valley since Friday. So we've been doing all sorts of things. He's been to the ocean. He's been to the falls. We've been doing all sorts of fun things. And he's been touring all around Western Canada. God has been at work in every single one of us. And sometimes we don't fully understand or comprehend exactly what he's doing. Sometimes God will use us to plant a seed. Sometimes God will use us to go and water that seed. But the one thing that we know is that it is God that will cause that seed to grow. We don't need to stress and worry. It's like, oh, I planted those seeds. God knows the seeds. God is looking after them. We simply trust in him. So last week, we talked about activating the download. It's one thing to hear God's voice. It's another to do something about what he has downloaded. Doing something about it doesn't mean that we do it our way. We take the steps of faith and we trust God every single step of the way. Father, this morning you know exactly what you have been speaking into the hearts of your people. You know the work that you have called them to do. You know the transformation that you are making in their lives. You know how it is that you're restoring their minds. And God, our trust and our confidence is in you. And we want to walk with you. We want to go in the direction that you're leading us. So God, this morning, as we continue to process this downloaded word that you have given to us, give us the mind of Christ. We ask this in your name. Amen. So this morning, we're going to conclude this three-part series that we've been doing, and I've entitled it, The Delivery. So if you have your Bibles, I ask you to turn with me to Genesis 21, and as always, it's going to be on the screen for you to follow along as well. Starting to read at verse 1 of Genesis 21, we're continuing on in the story of Abraham and Sarah. And it starts this way. The Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he had promised. So the first encouragement that we have here is that number one is that God did what he said he would do. Continuing on. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age at the time of which God had spoken to him. Abraham called the name of his son who was born to him, whom Sarah bore him, Isaac. Now, I love this statement because it says, at the time which God had spoken to him. When was it? In God's time. How many times have you been waiting on something and somebody comes up to you and says, well, you know, it's going to happen in God's time. Now, I tend to be a little bit vulnerable, and so you're going to get to know me. But when people come up to me, every now and then, it's like the spirit of slap just comes over me. I don't know if that's ever happened to you. It's just like, seriously? Yes, I know these things, but sometimes I know we need those reminders, but it's just like, I know. We know it's true, but come on, God, wouldn't you mind? Can't you just accelerate it just this one time, just for me? Continuing on. And Abraham circumcised his son Isaac when he was 8 years old, as God had commanded him. Eight, what did I say? Oh, it says 8 days. Bifocals are not working. I got those progressive lenses, you know. So things didn't happen when Abram wanted it. But it is clear that he kept his eye on God. He followed through on what God was asking him. He didn't, you know, have you ever seen one of those spoiled childs? Like, you didn't do it in my time, so I'm not going to do it. He didn't act like a spoiled child when this happened. No. On the eighth day, as God commanded, Abraham circumcised his son Isaac. Continuing on, Abraham was 100 years old when his son Isaac was born to him. And Sarah said, God has made laughter for me. Everyone who hears will laugh over me. And she said, who would have said to Abraham that Sarah would nurse children? Yet I have borne him a son in his old age. At the end of it all, they were able to laugh about it. Like many of the situations that we go through, we're able to look back and we are able to chuckle. We're able to see how we reacted or we acted along the way. The things we said, the impossible promises that we make. Have you ever looked back over a situation that you faced and think to yourself, yep, that's why God's in control, because my outcome would have been completely different. But what is it that we've learned about this story of Abraham and Sarah over the past couple of weeks? Well, the first thing we learned is that the word that was conceived or downloaded into their heart, it came from God. What do we know about God's word? God's word will come to pass. Does that mean that he's going to accomplish it through me? Not necessarily. Would I have been a good parent to Rudy? I believe that I would have been. Was I the one that God wanted to raise this little boy? No. God had another plan, and it was important that I listen to his plan and not attempt to take matters into my own hands. The second thing that we learned is that the download had to be developed. There were things that needed to happen in the lives of Sarah and Abram. There were some lessons that Sarah needed to learn, and it was important that she listened to the advice that God was giving to her. It's important when a word is downloaded into our hearts that you take the time to discern the word that God is speaking to you. Listen to what he's saying. What does it mean by discern? Sit and listen to what God is saying. It's very easy in those moments to go and talk it out with somebody else. What happens when you do this? You subject yourself to everybody else's opinions and everybody else's thoughts. But it's important to remember, who's speaking this word to you? Who is it that you should be talking this word out with? Who is going to give you the best advice? Let me give you an example. I'll share with you another story. In 1991, God spoke into my heart. And I remember when and I remember where. And he said, Chad, I am calling you to go into full-time vocational ministry as a pastor. So I heard that word, I received it, and what did I do? Instead of talking it out with God and taking the time to listen to God and see how he's going to unfold this story, I started to talk to other people about this word. And people kept saying, oh, you'd make a good pastor. Oh, you should go to Bible college. Oh, this is exactly what you should be doing. God's word was true, but my timing was off. As soon as I graduated from high school, I went off to Bible college. I attended Western Pentecostal Bible College in Abbotsford in 1991. 2 months later, I had to withdraw for medical reasons. I was upset at God. I started saying things like, I thought you had called me to ministry. I thought you were calling me to be a full-time pastor. I said all of these things to God, but I didn't necessarily wait around to see what his response was going to be. I just got everything off my chest. God spoke his word to me originally in 1991 while I was visiting with some friends in Fort McMurray for spring break. And I actually didn't put this whole thing together until I was preparing this message. Because 8 years later, I am now living in Fort McMurray, Alberta, and I'm attending the same church that God originally spoke this word to me. And it was November of 1999. He said, now it is time for you to go to college and become a pastor. And I wrestled with this word. Really? God, I've got a family. We just bought a house. We both got good jobs. How are we supposed to quit everything and move to a brand new city and start up college? How are we supposed to pay for this? But over the next few months, God continued to speak into my heart, and he confirmed everything and to assure me that now is the right time. And I even said, why now and not back in 1991? And he helped me to see. There were things that I wanted to take you through. There were experiences that that you needed to have. There were paths that you needed to walk down. There were sicknesses that you needed to be healed from. All for the ministry that I am preparing you for. And I look back and I think that 18-year-old who drove up the hill to Western Pentecostal Bible College had no life experience. I would have gone to school, I would have graduated, and I would have immediately went into pastoring, and I had no clue what people were going through. But I knew that God had to take me through some different things. I had to experience things in life. And now, when I look back on it, and with the different people that I've met with and ministered to, I've been able to completely understand what it is that they're going through. I know what it's like to work in the oil and gas industry. I know what it's like to work in a very secular environment. God has allowed me to go through a lot of experiences, and because of that, when I look at people, I'm able to say, I understand what you're going through. When a person comes in and they sit across from me and they tell me about their years of depression, I'm able to say, you know what? I completely understand what you're going through. I know what it's like to suffer with depression, and I did for years. But God brought me out of it. And because of that, He has used it in order to be able to speak into people's lives. Because when I was going through it, I had the psychologist and I had these individuals, and they're great individuals. But it was that person that came along to me and said, there's going to be days where you feel like this. And they were able to basically talk about what I was going to go through. And that resonated with me. And that's what helped me in my healing journey. So when I'm going through it, I don't understand. But now being on the other side, I can see why God allowed me to go through all of these situations. So the final thing that we can learn through this story to ensure that we're in sync with God is about the delivery. I'm not sure if you've had this experience or not, but I've been in the labor and delivery room twice, and I'm good. I don't ever need to go back in there again. But when Kelsey was born, it was our first time, and we had no idea what to expect. The doctor that was attending to Kyla, he was in a bit of a rush. He walked into the room, and he wanted to get things moving. Kyla's body wasn't quite ready for the delivery, but he had other plans. He broke her water, he went to work, and he used other means in order to get Kelsey to come into this world. Kelsey was born perfectly normal. There were no issues. However, the undue stress that was put upon Kyla's body as a result indicated that she wasn't quite ready for the delivery. There were complications after the birth, and she had some struggles. It was 3 days before she was even able to hold Hallie in her arms. Or Kelsey. When Hallie was born, we had a better understanding of what to expect. Kyla wasn't in a rush. She waited for things to happen naturally before proceeding. She had let me know specific wishes that she wanted, and I worked to make sure that these things were granted. The end result was a very smooth delivery. Kyla was able to hold Hallie as soon as she was born. There were no complications, and Hallie was born perfectly normal. What is it that the delivery can teach us? And now this morning, I'm not talking about the delivery of a baby. I'm talking about the delivery of what it is that God has downloaded into your heart that He is about to birth from you. So the first thing, be prepared for change. That's the first thing that delivery is going to teach you. Be prepared for change. Proverbs 16, verse 3 says, commit your work to the Lord and your plans will be established. God knows what He's doing. Remember, He will guide you in the way that you are to go, so be prepared to have your ways changed or altered. Secondly, this is your new normal. It's easy to keep going back to the way that things were already done. And what do you know about this? This is the definition of insanity. Insanity is defined as doing the same thing over and over and over, expecting a different result. Do you get a different result? No. You keep doing the same thing over and over, but you want something to change. But when you allow God to change you, this will be your new normal. Think about how much things changed when you delivered your first child. All of a sudden, it is no longer all about you, is it? You've got this little one that you're caring for. Romans 12 says, I appeal to you, therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual act of worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So here's what we are to do with God helping us. Take your everyday ordinary life. You're sleeping, you're eating, you're going to work, and you're walking around life. And place it before God as an offering. Embracing what God does for you is the best thing you can do for Him. Don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit into it without even thinking. Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what He wants from you and quickly respond to it. When God asks, we are simply to say yes. Yes. Number three, slow and steady wins the race. I read this quote. It says, if God is making you wait, then be prepared to receive more than what you asked for. Now, Chad's interpretation of that is, when that offer for the house comes, it's going to be over and above what we had listed it for. But it's not all about what Chad wants. So I'm just expecting, God, I know that you're going to do something great through all of this. Luke 1:45, when the angel was talking to Elizabeth, it says, and blessed is she who believed that there would be a fulfillment of what was spoken to her from the Lord. Hebrews 12:1, let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. It's about God's timing. He's not slow. What do we know about God? When does He show up? Right on time. You know, even as I was driving here this morning, I'm saying to God, God, what's the 11th hour? Right? Because even in the sale of the homes, like, if I knew what the 11th hour was, then I can kind of prepare myself. But I don't know. We don't know what the 11th hour is. Number four, know who to listen to. Learn from Abraham. He chose, as we read last week, he chose to listen to the voice of Sarah. Abram knew what God had spoken to him, but as we read in Genesis 16, verse 2, it says, and Abram listened to the voice of Sarah. Isaiah 30:21 says, whether you turn to the right or to the left, your ears will hear a voice behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. We are to follow God's voice. You know, one thing that I do not believe is that we're walking along and all of a sudden we just fall into sin. We know if we are listening to what God is asking us and we are in tune with the Spirit, before we even sin, our heart has already been convicted. We know that what we're about to do is wrong. So it's not a case of, well, you know, Pastor Chad, I was walking along and boom, there it was, I just sinned. No, you make the choice. Are you listening to God's voice? He is right there and He is directing you. Which takes us to number five, follow the orders. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will grant you the desires of your heart. Take note of this passage because so many times I've had people come up to me and they say, Pastor Chad, God says that He will grant me the desires of my heart. It's like, wait a minute. Let's read the whole passage. Well, what does it say? Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So often we just skip over that first part. We live however it is that we want. We don't take into consideration what God is asking, but we're going, God, you said that you would grant me the desires of my heart. The key thing is are we delighting ourselves in Him? And finally, number six, don't come out with a bang. Take your time. Trust in God's timing. Hebrews 6:15 says, "And so after waiting patiently, Abraham received what was promised." Exodus 14:13 to 14 says, "And Moses said to the people, 'Fear not, stand firm, and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will work for you today. For the Egyptians whom you see today, you shall never see again. The Lord will fight for you, and you have only to be silent.'" Take your time to listen to what God is saying. He's the one who will instruct you every single step of the way. He will answer the whens, the wheres, the whats, the hows, all of that. What often happens with overnight successes? They tend to die overnight. Trust in God. He is able to see the full picture, and he is asking us to trust in him. So as we close this series, the question I have for you is this: are you in sync with God? This morning you may be in the waiting room. Some of you may even be choosing to remain in the waiting room. You know what it is that God is asking you to do, but you're not quite ready to move forward and start the activation process because you know that the next step is going to require a lot of work. It's going to require a step of faith. It's going to require a change in how you're doing things. It's time to start activating the download that God has placed in your heart. Maybe you've even started it and you've thought, wow, this is a lot more than I ever realized. There's way more work in this than I ever realized. And perhaps God has started the birthing process and you're now starting to adjust to your new norm. So wherever you are in the synchronization process, the download, the activation, the delivery, know that just like we read about with Sarah, God is going to do what he has promised. If you're in the delivery stage and currently living out what God has downloaded in you, I would love to hear about it. If you're on your journey, please come and see me. Let's grab coffee. Send me an email. I want to be in your corner supporting you, praying for you, hearing about your story. Share it with a friend. Let somebody know when God is asking you to share it. But this morning, as you're waiting on God, my hope is that your heart is in tune with him. So, Father, you know exactly what it is that you have been speaking into our hearts. You know where every single person is in this room this morning. Some of them may have even started to hear from you this morning. And it might be the first time in a long time where they're saying, God, I hear your voice. I hear your voice. Some may have started, and they're starting to take that step of faith. Just like Peter, they're about to step out and walk on water. And they know that it is going to take a step of faith. But as sometimes we're reminded, in order to take that step of faith, we need to first get out of the boat. We need to start taking that step. We need to put one foot in front of the other. You will close the doors. You will open the doors. You will give us everything that we need to accomplish what you're asking us to do. And some may be in the midst of that delivery, of doing what it is that you've called them to do. God, you know where each person is here this morning. And I thank you that you hold every single one of us in the palm of your hand. You call us to plant those seeds. And we may not know the seeds, we may not know what's happened to the seeds. But we trust that you're going to bring somebody else along that's going to water that seed. And we know that's you that will cause that seed to grow. So we thank you for the work that you are doing in this place. And we give you the praise In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks again for listening to today's message. We hope that it encouraged you as you live out your faith in everyday life. Make sure to download our church app by typing Comox Pentecostal into Google Play or the App Store to enjoy more podcasts, Bible resources, giving options, and more.